You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates, 8:05 Central Time on Wednesday, April 27th. It's time to start our study of God's Word. Joining us by phone this morning, Pastor Daniel Hinton from Trinity Lutheran Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good morning, Pastor Hinton.
Good morning.
Good to have some time to study God's Word with you. It's been a while since we've been on the air together, so looking forward to digging into Luke chapter 12 today. Tell us about your congregation.
Well, Trinity Lutheran Church was founded in 1892. We've been here now almost 125 years. We're preparing to celebrate 125th next year. At the same time the church was founded, we've opened a school. And the school has been open just as long. Our school operates under a classical pedagogy. We're part of the burgeoning classical Lutheran education movement within the Lutheran Church. It's very exciting work. It's very fulfilling work. We have about 80 students or so in our school, and they learn not only the classics of Western literature, not only, you know, Shakespeare and you know, Tolkien and these sorts of things, but they also learn Latin, and best of all, they learn, of course, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which they receive in its fullness, and they study at great depth. It's very rewarding work, and if anyone's listening in Cheyenne, Wyoming, registration is now open.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry of Trinity and the school, the teachers and students that that gather to study and learn and grow together. We're in Luke chapter 12 today, verses 35 through 53. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
Okay, well, if you look at the beginning of Luke chapter 12, this is in verse 1, Luke records that in the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first. So just you know, whenever Jesus is speaking, you have these long teaching discourses like we have here in Luke chapter 12. It's important to know to whom he's speaking, because then when you hear the word you have an idea of who's the you. You is not necessarily always everybody. In this case, he begins to talk to his disciples first. That is, not merely his followers, but these are the men who are going to become his apostles and are going to essentially be the first pastors of the church to do that pastoral work of proclaiming the gospel, of baptizing, of, in particular in the text that we're going to study, their role as stewards of the Lord's Supper is going to be enormously critical for our understanding. So there are principles, of course, here which are important for all Christians to know, but in particular, he's speaking to his disciples first among all of the people who are gathered so close they're trampling each other. He's speaking to these men who are going to be the first pastors of the Christian church. He's also introducing a number of, or this kind of begins a discourse where he's warning, especially his disciples, about what's going to come against them. He tells them, for example, to have no fear. You know, don't fear those who kill the body, but fear him who has authority to cast into hell. This is in verse 5. Again, these are men who are going to be coming under assault, that is persecution. We know that of the 12 apostles, 11 die as martyrs. And so as they're being martyred, they are, you know, they're being formed first by this word of our Lord to tell them, you know, don't fear only those who can kill the body, but remember, fear him most of all who has authority to cast into hell, that is God. We obey God rather than men. And then continuing from there, our Lord reminds us to acknowledge Christ before men. You know, they're going to bring you into the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities. Don't be anxious about what you're going to say. He gives comfort to them that the Holy Spirit is going to give them the words they're to say. Then he reminds them not to be anxious. He reminds them, you know, that the Lord provides for even the small things of creation. And then we begin this text here in verse 35 with a warning that they are to be ready for service.
I had the privilege of attending the call service last night at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis and seeing so many men who were preparing for this noble task, this vocation, called to serve as pastors. I can't imagine what it would be like to be sitting in the pew and preparing for this. And I know many of them are, you know, also preparing for ordination, which will probably be even more intense in terms of the feelings that come across as they prepare for this vocation.
Yeah, as I was looking over this text again last night, I was also watching at the same time that call service at St. Louis, and then of course, you know, the Fort Wayne Seminary, which is my alma mater, has their call service tonight, and mm-hmm. It was, you know, 5 years ago when I was one of those men sitting there in the pews anxiously awaiting to hear the word of the Lord, and I heard those words, Trinity Lutheran Church and School, Cheyenne, Wyoming District. There was a very exciting time knowing that challenge was going to come. And these words of our Lord are for that reason, incredibly timely for especially those men who are about to be sent into those areas of the world to which the Lord has called them, reminding them what they are to do and what it means that they are to be stewards.
It is an exciting time of year. And yes, the call service at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, today or tonight, and exciting time for those students. Well, let's take a look at the text. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 53. We're studying with Pastor Daniel Hinton, Trinity Lutheran Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. If you have a question or a comment about the text today, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address kfuo@kfuo.org. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, he says, Pastor.
Yeah, this stay dressed for action, it's one of those things where if you read it in the Greek and then you hear it in this translation, you kind of go, oh. In the Greek, it's much more, it's much stronger. It's let your loins be girded, you know. In the ancient world, you would have these men who would wear these long, kind of flowing, almost robes. But it's the time came for you to travel, or for you to do battle, or in this case, to serve. You take the bottom of the garment and you kind of wrap it around the midsection so that it doesn't get caught up around your feet, and you're ready to move, you're ready to go. So, you know, really let your loins be girded. You know, this is kind of it harkens back to the old King James, you know, gird the loins kind of a thing. And what this means is, it does mean be ready for action, that is, be ready to go. And of course, to any Jews who would hear this, this is going to remind them of the Passover, because when our Lord, the night when he's going to lead them out of slavery in Egypt to freedom in the land that he's going to give them eventually, he commands a meal for all of Israel. And one of the instructions he gives is the meal is to be eaten, of course, you know, it's to be roasted and so forth, and with bitter herbs and all of this. But one of the things is the sandals are on the feet, the staff is in the hand, they are ready to go at any time. And this, of course, brings to mind the Passover. This is kind of setting the stage, which is going to be enormously important when we talk about the nature of the servants and the master when we get a little bit further into the text.
And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks.
Yeah, so the master is coming back, right? And that's why, of course, the disciples are always going to be in a state of readiness. Again, these disciples are going to be slaves. They're going to be servants. You know, our word translated here is servants. I think maybe a stronger word might be slaves. That's, you know, of course, as Americans, when we hear that word, we kind of think of the baggage of, you know, 19th and previous centuries, American institution of that. In the ancient world, it wasn't quite so stark. There were servants who lived in the house and dwelled with the paterfamilias, the head of the family, and they did various jobs, one of which was being the steward, that is, the one to care for things. And that's the image that Jesus paints of his pastors, is to be stewards. Of course, St. Paul makes much of this in a couple of places in his epistles. We're considered to be stewards of the mysteries of God. That, interestingly enough, that word steward, I do teach Latin, that word mysteries in the Latin is sacramentum, you know, the word that we use for sacraments. They are stewards, really, of the sacraments of Christ. And as we know, the Son of Man, of course, is going to ascend into the heavens. He's going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. However, at one point in history, a point which no one knows, he will return again. And for that reason, because he's coming back, because he will return for what is his, then we are to be prepared, because at some point the Master will come home from the wedding feast.
Blessed are those servants whom the Master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them.
One of the major themes in Luke is that of the great reversal. The first shall be last, the greatest shall be least. You've got parables in here about, you know, when you sit at a table, you know, you take the lowest spot, and then you let the master say, you know, friend, move up to a higher place. Jesus is speaking this way a lot, especially in Luke. That is that what is expected is turned on its head. You expect, of course, that when the master comes, the master will expect to be served. That's the way that the world works. That's the way that man thinks of things, that when the servants are ready for the master to come home, because when the master comes, of course, he's going to expect to be served. But Jesus is not like human masters. Jesus is not like us in that sense, because he has come not to be served, as he tells us, but rather to serve. And so this is very much then like the great feast in heaven, where although our Lord is the master, he nonetheless becomes the servant. And this we find especially important for our understanding of the Lord's Supper, that sacrament that he institutes on the night when he is betrayed, when, yes, the disciples are in the upper room with Jesus celebrating, of all things, the Passover, which our Lord kind of prepares for us when he says things like, you know, girding your loins and being ready for action. So this talk of the girding of the loins, of the you know, being ready in the night, of the banquet, you know, the feast, this brings to mind the Passover, which of course then for us Christians brings to mind the Lord's Supper. And of course the Lord's Supper has stewards who are not the owners of the supper, but nonetheless are charged by God to do the work of distributing those gifts as our Lord has commanded. And of course, this is what makes this so incredibly prescient for this call day, because this is the task that the men who are going to be graduating our two seminaries are going to be sent out to do.
If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Yeah. So, there are kind of two different meals that are happening here in this part of the text. That is that of the banquet. That's in verse 36. You know, the master comes home from the wedding feast. But then also, there's the meal that the Lord serves to those slaves that are reclined at the table. That is, this is the one that is in 37. There's a distinction between the two, where on the one hand, the master is coming back, of course, which is certainly not... this is not like the final of the feast at the end of time, because of course the Lord is returning from the feast. So this would be kind of like the celebration in heaven when our Lord ascends into heaven, right? He's done the work of atonement on the cross. He's been raised from the dead, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father to rule. And then the second feast that we have here in verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. He will come and serve them, Jesus says. This one is much more like the feast that we find in heaven, where the master serves, the slaves dine. The master does not take the glory for himself, but humbles himself to serve. And this is much more like what we would expect at the end of time. But there's a warning here, that we don't know exactly when that hour is coming, and therefore we must be ready at all times. There are lots of positions in the world where people have to be ready no matter what. I think of like a guard, for example. A guard doesn't know when someone's going to come and break into whatever place he's guarding, so he has to be ready at all times. Now, that's not to say that Jesus is going to come to steal. Of course, that's, you know, he's not coming to sin or to harm. Mm-hmm. But he is coming at a time when we don't know.
And for which we should be prepared.
Correct.
Pastor, anything else up through verse 40 before we go to break?
Just a brief discussion of what it means to be prepared.
Good point.
So what does it mean to be prepared if you're in this parable? Well, of course, you know, keeping everything clean and in order. What does it mean then for us Christians to be prepared for when the Son of Man is going to return? Well, first of all, of course, this means baptism. Of course, this is our incorporation into Christ. It's that incorporation which is going to bring us enemies. That's going to come up later in the text. Also, catechesis, the being instructed in the faith. And most important of all, I think, would be the concept of repentance. That is, that our life is to be one of repentance, thus our Lord does not find us impenitent and rejecting of his salvation, but rather of our gladly receiving his salvation.
We're studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Daniel Hinton from Trinity Lutheran Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. We're in Luke chapter 12 today, verses 35 through 53. If you have a question or a comment, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to His Time.
The Christian mission of Lutheran Senior Services is older adults living life to the fullest. Based on John 10, verse 10, this mission leads Lutheran Senior Services to serve a diverse population, living in diverse situations, experiencing diverse needs. Responding to those needs requires a multitude of hands working in a multitude of specialized fields in order to offer a complete continuum of services designed to help older adults live life to the fullest, whatever their needs may be. Learn more at lssliving.org.
Concordia Historical Institute continues to move Lutheran history forward. A Lutheran pastor once said that changing history is history lost. And Concordia Historical Institute continues to serve the church and the community by not only collecting and preserving historical documents, artifacts, fine art associated with Lutheran history, but also sharing those with the church and community. See us at ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org. ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org.
On the next adventure in Odyssey, George White asks the Jubilee singers to sing the songs that carried them through difficult times.
If ever we've met a group of people who need to hear the passion and power of your history, it is now.
And their true story inspires a new generation.
I haven't even gone to a fundraiser for my school, let alone risk my life for it like they did.
Next time on Adventures in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Daniel Hinton of Trinity Lutheran Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. We're in Luke chapter 12 today, verses 35 through 53. Let's take a look at verse 41 and following. Peter said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants, to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." All right, so Peter says, "Lord, are you telling us this parable for us or for all?"
Yeah, as I mentioned, one of the important distinctions to remember as we get these long discourses from Jesus is to consider to whom is he speaking? That is, who's the you? And Peter says, "Okay, Jesus, the crowds are here, but the disciples are here. Which one are you speaking to?" And the answer is, of course, well, both. He's speaking to the disciples and he's speaking to the crowds. He's speaking to the crowds in a general sense. In a general way, this is true for all Christians, or for indeed all mankind. But it is true in a heightened kind of a sense. It's true in an special sense for those whom he's going to call to be his servants, his in reality stewards, that is, those who are given management over that which belongs to Christ. And the question here is going to be for us, what do you do, that is, you servants, you, to put it in modern parlance, pastors, what do you pastors do with what the Lord has given you to do? You'll be accountable for what you have done. And thus you remember throughout your years of service, and may they be many and blessed, that throughout those years of service, you must always be prepared for the master to return and for you to be found diligent in your duties. And there's a fascinating thing in this, because Jesus is saying that the punishment for those who are not diligent will be kind of graded on a scale, so to speak, so that those who didn't know what to do will be given a light beating, but those who knew what they were supposed to be doing and didn't will receive a severe beating. This is kind of terrifying if you want to know the truth as a pastor, but nonetheless, this is the warning that our Lord gives to us, and this is plenty of motivation, of course, from God's holy law for us to be faithful in what we do.
All right. Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, "My master is delayed in coming," and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty stark. There's no equivocation here. There's no nice way to put what's being said here. And it is uncomfortable for us to hear our Lord speak this way. I think it's okay to admit that. Because
the
image we have of Jesus, of course, is one who brings only peace. And, of course, I'm giving away what's going to happen in verse 49. But the truth is that for those who are found unfaithful, for those who are set into this task, who instead of feeding for the feast with the good food of the master throwing the empty husks of the world's own ungodly wisdom. Those who, if I want to put it in modern terms, those who will not preach law and gospel, those who will not teach the full counsel of God, those who are unfaithful with the mysteries of Christ, that is, those pastors who are not careful in how they serve. When it comes to the Lord's Supper, as we know, especially from 1 Corinthians 11, there's a warning attached to improper reception, and the steward must be very careful, that is, the pastor, must be very careful in how he administers that, which is why in the Missouri Synod we practice closed communion, where those who discern the body, have been instructed in the faith, know what they are receiving, are in agreement with all of our doctrine, will come and receive the Lord's Supper. But those who do not discern the body, those who don't know what they're receiving, those who believe differently than we do, at least when it comes to the gospel and the administration of the sacraments, are not to receive. And those pastors who said, well, that's too hard, or people are going to think I'm a big meanie, or, this is unpopular, I can't do this, I don't want to, our Lord will require something of them, and it will not be pretty for them. The warning is those who are not faithful in what the Lord has given them will receive punishment from the Lord. And for that reason, we as stewards have to take these words very seriously and do the hard work of being diligent and careful in how we administer what the Lord has given us to administer. It's not easy. I've got to tell you that of all the things I do as a pastor, being diligent in the administration of the sacraments is incredibly, indescribably difficult. And I confess that at times I've probably not done it exactly right, but the command is that we try and that we do. And the warning here is, if you just decide that the Master is not coming back, if you just decide not to wait anymore, and hear the language Jesus uses is that of, just getting drunk and abusing the slaves that are given to the steward's charge, much will be expected of him, and it will not go well for him on the last day. But look also what he says here in verse 43. It's not all warning. There is a blessing here. Jesus blesses those servants whom his master will find so doing when he comes. That is, they give them their portion of food at the proper time. There's a blessing there, and this is great for us, pastors who have been in the field for a while, and especially for those men who are being sent yesterday and today, that for those who are faithful in what the Lord has given to them, there's a blessing. He will set him over all his possessions.
And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating, but the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more.
Yes. So this is kind of the conclusion of these really three parables. And we find here the attitude that the servants know his master's will, right? So in modern day parlance, that means the pastor takes seriously his vow to be diligent in the study of the scriptures and the Lutheran confessions. That's how we know the master's will, is by studying his word. And of course, to us American Lutherans, we have been given very much. I mean, really, if you think about it, our people can buy a Bible for less than the cost of a value meal at a fast food restaurant in wonderful English, in a lovely print, in a sturdy binding. We have access to the Word of God online. We can distribute the Word of God and our preaching and our ministry through traditional means, through electronic means. We can communicate with people like never before. Much has been given to us. And for that reason, much is required of us. That is, we find that our American seminaries are training pastors for the burgeoning Lutheran churches in the Third World. I think that's fantastic. I remember in seminary, of course, we had some students from Africa who would... as far as possessions goes, had not nearly what any of the, even what we would consider some of the poorer Americans had, nonetheless, they'd be sitting at the lunch table and reciting Shakespeare sonnets back and forth to one another, you know, line by line, and making us all look really bad because all of us American students had almost no memory whatsoever, which, you know, shows you the value of a classical education. But much is given of us, much is given to us, that is to say. We have lovely churches, we have lots of faithful members, and much will be required of us, that is to say, we must take what the Lord has given to us and, of course, receive it with awe and thanksgiving, but then also be faithful with what we do with it. And it is demanding work, it's challenging, but it is rewarding work, and it is the Lord himself who rewards, and that's what our Lord is saying to us.
Verses 49 through 53, we have just about 4 minutes here to cover this. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. This doesn't sound like the Jesus who, in other texts, says, "Peace I leave with you." Sounds a little bit different. No, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to cast fire on the earth.
Yeah, and really the emphasis here is actually on the word fire. You know, fire I came to throw on the earth. That's what he came to do. And he wishes it was already kindled. And This statement is incredibly difficult to receive. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? Well, we just came out of Christmas a few months ago, and isn't that what he did come to give, was peace on earth? You know, but nonetheless, Jesus says he comes to bring division. Now, in a sense, he has come to bring peace. I mean, the Bible says this, but also the ministry that he comes to do and leave with his church will, of necessity, bring division. Jesus speaks unequivocally throughout all the Gospels in terms of sides. That is, there are those who are with me and those who are against me, and there is no middle ground. You are either with me or you're against me. In Matthew, he says, you either gather with me or you scatter. There are sheep, there are goats, there are wheat, there's tares. I mean, he says this in dozens of different ways all throughout the Gospels. And those who are opposed to Jesus will be divided against him, and that's the division he speaks of, that where Jesus' kingdom is, where he is bestowing the Holy Spirit by his word, where sins are being forgiven, where the gospel is being preached, where people are repenting of their sins, hearing the word of God, there will be those against it. We should not, I mean, As Americans, we're kind of coming out of a time when the church had some sway and standing in our culture and society, and so it kind of surprises us. Oh, my goodness, the world hates us. But Jesus says, don't be surprised when the world hates you. They hate me. This is going to happen. It will happen. But my disciples, Jesus says, who are baptized into me, who by their baptism into me have earned thereby opposition in the world, enmity with the world and with Satan, there will be opposition, there will be division. And not only will you find opposition over there in that part of the world where there are those people who hate us, they're going to be much closer. They're going to be in our own houses. Fathers against sons, sons against fathers. Those of us who have been Christians for any amount of time have probably experienced this, and it is gut-wrenchingly painful. Nonetheless, that doesn't give us cause to say, maybe I shouldn't follow Jesus, but he's telling us that his coming will bring division, and it's going to get close, and it's going to hurt. That's the part of Jesus' ministry that it kind of sparks that fire that's on the earth. Nonetheless, there will be division. Pastors are going to suffer. I hope that in the sermons that the men hear on these call days, that they hear that there will be suffering. And their ministry might be joyful, it might be fun even sometimes, but there will necessarily be suffering. But if pastors suffer, Christians suffer, Jesus suffers even more. All the baptized are going to suffer. Jesus tells us this. But we also know that he's come to cast fire on the earth. That is, He will judge the earth. The earth will be destroyed. And we who are in Christ, who are standing with him at that time, will be victorious and will know true everlasting peace like could never be found on this earth.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, with about 30 seconds, anything else that you'd like to share with us or any way to sum up what we've learned today?
When Jesus speaks these words of warning, don't ever forget the promises. That is, you see words like beating and fire and division. Don't also forget the words blessed. That is, those who are awake when the Master comes are blessed. He will dress himself and he will serve them. Those who are faithful, who are baptized, who repent, who regularly receive the Lord's Supper, who are in Christ, will, when the Master returns, be blessed. Our God is coming. Jesus will return. He's going to judge the world, and therefore we Christians are to be ready at all times, and those who are faithful will receive not the beating, not the judgment, and not the fire, not the division either, but peace and blessing, and he himself will serve them in a feast that never ends.
We've been studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Pastor Daniel Hinton of Trinity Lutheran Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Pastor Hinton, thanks for being our guest and helping us study in Luke chapter 12 today.
Absolutely my pleasure.
God bless you and all the saints at Trinity Lutheran Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Coming up in a little bit, Witness Wednesday with the Reverend Mark Wood. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.